والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. I want to share something with you first, and this is something that is very unique to the belief system of the Muslims. So, and the thing about this is, after you become a Muslim, طيب, you start loving Muslims, certain Muslims, just because they're Muslims. Like this brother who gives the khutbah, I love him for Allah's sake. I don't know him, I've never spoken to him, I've never seen him anywhere besides on the minbar addressing us. But because of the way he is, the things he speak about, the way he presents himself, the content of his khutbahs, I love him for Allah's sake, because I feel that we have something in common. Even if I don't even know his name, and he doesn't know my name. Anyways, this is one of the virtues of being brothers in Islam, where you would love somebody strictly for Allah's sake, because he's a believer like you. Not because he's going to give me his nice abaya afterwards, or because he gives me a ride when I need a ride, or anything of this worldly affair. You love him just because he's a Muslim brother who's trying to tell the people things that are good for them. So then automatically you love him. So anyways, I love him for Allah's sake. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was sitting with a companion who told him, you know, Messenger of Allah, I love such and such person for Allah's sake. He says, why don't you go and tell him then? So it is a sunnah, when you love your brother, to say, Akhi, I love you for Allah's sake. Yani your love is only because he believe, you share the belief system, not because of any other benefits that are related to the dunya. Anyways, the khutbah was smashing, and the topic was very sensitive, and it is something that really is rarely ever discussed, because people are ashamed, and it's very because it's sensitive. Some people might get, you know, who don't feel that they qualify, they might get their feelings hurt. And so, but anyways, he discussed it in a very appropriate manner, where he just brought the information forth without really offending anyone. At the same time, he said it as it is. And the idea of the khutbah is manhood. Who is the man? Who is the man? Seriously? Yes. But then he will discuss details into that. So he first quoted some of the stories, or if you want to say the narrations. It's on, inshallah. But it's everybody's breathing here. He quoted some of the narrations of the early Muslims, and he said that one time Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, which is the second Khalifa of the Muslims, طيب, because after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and afterwards it was Umar. So Umar was sitting with some men in a house or a front yard, whichever. Then he told them, wish, make a wish. So the first man said, I wish that this house was full of gold. For what though? He says, so I could spend it in the cause of Allah. And the other one said, I wish this whole house was full with diamonds and pearls. For what? So I could spend it in the cause of Allah. Then Umar radiallahu anhu said, I wish I had men, and he mentioned three of the companions, and I don't recall their names right now. I recall one of them, which is Az-Zubayr, and there was another one, Az-Zubayr, Abu Ubaidah, and the third one, Abu Sulaymah, or something along these lines. Three of the companions said that they were with me so they could help me make the word of Allah the upper word. And then the Shaykh mentioned other examples that at the time when the Muslims were being fought by the disbelievers, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had all these disbelievers, the Jews came together with the Christians, came together with the Arabs of Quraysh, everybody got together as one team against the Muslims, because the Muslims were on the rise and they did not want Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers to have a word in the land. So they all plotted against the Muslims and they were trying to wipe them out. And if you read the history and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and verses in the Quran in their interpretation, all of them lead us to understand some of these realities. Anyways, when this was the case and the Muslims were trying to be put down, at the time of the Khilafah of Abu Bakr, Khalid ibn al-Walid sent a message to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq telling him, I need some reinforcement. طيب, because the Muslims were being battled and they needed some reinforcement, so he sent to him one man. His name is Al-Qa'qa'. And this brother Al-Qa'qa' was like a monster. And if he screamed in the battlefield, all he had to do was scream in the battlefield, and everybody will just fall apart. He was a man like a real man. And he sent him, he said, this one man, this is all I'm going to send you. He will not be in part of any army except that they will defeat by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be the one defeating. Anyways, this is an example of some of the early Muslims. Some of those men who were really men. Then the Shaykh said, who is a man? Is a man the brother who is big built? Is a man a brother who has a lot of money, a lot of power? Is that the man? Or is the man something else? Who is the real man? Then he quoted some other stories or other evidences from the time of the Prophet ﷺ and afterwards. When there was a young boy who came in to address the king at that time, and the king said, can they find somebody older than you? He said, if the idea was about age, then somebody else should have been in your position. Don't be concerned about the age. And one time, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was up on the tree picking some siwak for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know the tree of Shajaratul Araq. It's called Shajaratul Araq. And this is where the miswak comes from. It's the thing that they used to brush their teeth with. We still do it because it's a sunnah. Anyway, so Ibn Mas'ud was up on a tree getting some from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he used to be a very skinny brother. So anyways, while he was doing this, some wind blew, and so his legs became exposed, and they were very thin legs. So the companions laughed at how thin his legs are. So the Prophet ﷺ said, are you laughing about the size and the tininess of how tiny his legs are? He says, by Allah, they are more heavy than the mountain of Uhud on the Day of Judgment on the scale. These two legs. Because of the man who was doing this wasn't to be identified as a man by his big size. He was identified as a man because of his concern for the Muslims and because what effort he put for the Muslims. And so the Shaykh was dealing with that same idea. He mentioned other evidences that I don't recall right now. Then he went on to explain this whole idea about the man in Islam and what is expected of us and how to deal with this new phenomena that is around, where a man is different than what he's supposed to be. There's a misconception about who a man is. And so the Shaykh basically mentioned with 10 things that we need to do in order to make sure that our children are men who will serve the Muslims and will be benefit to mankind. Some real men who will call the people who are unaware about the reality of Islam into Islam. Some men who will teach Muslims Islam. Some men who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Some real men whom we have hope in for the future of the Muslims. Because these are the younger generation and these are the ones who will carry the burden after we pass away. Then the Shaykh mentioned 10 qualities that we need to have in mind when dealing with our children. And the first one, and you're going to help me with this, man. Somehow you're going to help me with this. The first one is that we make him feel, we give him a kunya. What is a kunya? A kunya is something that the Arabs practice, and it is applicable to non-Arabs as well. It is to call somebody the father of such and such. Abu Mus'ab, Abu Ubaida, Abu Abdullah, you name it. This is something that the Prophet ﷺ used to practice with the children himself. Anas narrated, as the Shaykh mentioned from Bukhari, that he had a young brother. And his brother had a little bird that died. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this better not be me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come to him and say, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala an-Nughair? O Abu Umair, O father of Umair, what has the Nughayr done? He's trying to make him feel better about the death of his bird, which was his pet, in other words. Anyways, the evidence is here that he used to call him Abu Umair. He was a young boy. He sure didn't have Umair as a son. But when you give the son or your child a kunya like this, where you are the father of something, it gives him the feeling of responsibility. And he feels that he is older than what he is, so it would help him mature. So it is a sunnah actually to call yourself Abu something. Tayyib, if you have an older male, usually this is the most common way. Let's say your son's name is Umar, then you become Abu Umar. And if your son's name is Muhammad, you become Abu Muhammad. And so forth. You don't have to have a name or a son to be called that name. Abu Bakr didn't have a son named Bakr. Tayyib, but his kunya was Abu Bakr. So you could choose anything, even if you're not married. Tayyib, find yourself a kunya, because it's a sunnah to have a kunya. And it is nice. It's like a nickname. You know? So having one for your children is also beneficial for them, because it will give them that feeling of responsibility that you are the father of Soya and you're no longer a little baby. Even when they're 3 years old, you already make them feel that you're not a baby anymore. Say you don't do it in the diaper anymore. Now you go to the toilet. You're a big boy when he's 3. And when he's 4, you tell him, now you read. You didn't read. You're a big boy. And you know how you deal with the children. The second thing that the Sheikh mentioned is that you teach him sports. Specifically those that have been mentioned in the Sunnah, which is ar-rami and throwing or aiming, whatever it could be, in the bow and arrow or whatever other means of aiming and being able to hit a target, being able to target something and get the target with whatever means they have discovered, whatever suitable. Also swimming and horseback riding. These are all from the Sunnah to teach the children. Tayyib.
Quran. More
toward
Quran also.
Quran?
In other
topics.
Teaching Quran.
Teaching Quran? No, he's dealing with sports.
Sports. In other hadith there are four things.
Maybe, yeah, Allahu A'lam. I'm not saying that there's not negating that. The one that I mentioned in the Na'am. So the brothers mentioned it. There's another narration that mentions also teaching them the Quran, which is a given, inshallah, that you'll be teaching the children the Quran. But as far as sports are concerned, these are, of course, it doesn't mean that he doesn't do anything else, but these are the ones that are advised. Another thing to do to the children, to give them the feeling of responsibility and to make them become men at an early stage, is to make him feel that he is honored, and to give him to ask for his opinion regarding things. Even if he's young, what do you think I should do about this? Seek his opinion regarding things. Also, another thing is to give them responsibility. Give them responsibility according to their ability. Where you say you're responsible for such and such in the house. You make sure that, you know, the trash is collected at the front door. You make sure that if somebody knocks on the door, you ask who it is. You don't let anybody open the door. You give the child responsibility to make him feel worthwhile, that he is actually responsible for things in the household. Another thing that the Shaykh mentioned should be given to the children is what we learn from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, where he was sitting with a whole bunch of older brothers, and a younger brother was to his right, and all the older brothers were to his left. The Sunnah, when you want to offer somebody drink or whatever, is to begin with your right. But then we know Islamically that we're supposed to treat the elderly a certain way, and they get certain privileges because they are older. So the Prophet ﷺ, and look at the character of the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't want to disregard the child and make him feel unimportant. And he did not want to make the shuyukh and the older people feel unimportant. So he asked for the permission of the child. He says, do you mind if I pass a drink to the older people first? And look at that character of the Prophet ﷺ. What did the young man say? He says, no, O Messenger of Allah, I will not give up anything that comes from you for anybody. Yani, if I'm going to get something from you, no matter how much I want to respect these older brothers, this is from you, I want my share to get it from you. So I would not sacrifice it for somebody else. So anyways, you wind up taking it from the Prophet ﷺ. But what we learn from this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ made that young man feel significant and feel important. Another thing the Shaykh mentioned is that you bring your children to the lectures and to whenever there's knowledge being given. In order to, and this companions used to bring their children at the gatherings with the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in order for them to attain knowledge. Another thing is to teach him how to have respect to the elders. So when you see the elder, you say assalamu alaikum, you shake their hand, and you know, you act, you teach him how to behave. And this is common sense, how to behave with the elders and not to be rude and disrespectful. This is something that we teach the children. Again, why? Because these children need to be real men. And men are measured with the effort that they put. Men are measured according to what kind of benefit they bring to humanity. It is not about size. And now I'm remembering, see this what happens, now I remember other things he said before. And he mentioned that on the Day of Judgment, as it comes in a narration from the Prophet ﷺ, that the big fat man of great size will be brought on the Day of Judgment, and he will not weigh with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the weight of a wing of a fly. No, ba'uda mosquito. Sorry, it's even smaller. The big fat man will come on the Day of Judgment and he will not be worth the wing of a mosquito, because he didn't have anything beneficial for himself. So his size did not benefit. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and read if you want, the verse of Surah Al-Kahf. Wazna, the one that ends with wazna. Subhanallah al-Azim.
Verse.
No. Surah Al-Kahf, at the end of the surah. And now that I'm on the spot, I want to quote it for you. So just be patient with me. Say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Here we go. Naam. أولئك الذين كفروا بآيات ربهم ولقائه فحبطت أعمالهم فلا نقيم لهم يوم القيامة وزنا. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shall I inform you about those who will have the greatest loss, those with the most outstanding loss on the Day of Judgment? Those who their effort in this dunya has went astray while they think that they are upon goodness. And this is usually most commonly applicable to the disbelievers. Those who spend their whole life thinking that they're going to Jannah, thinking that their salvation is waiting for them, and in reality they don't have nothing, while they think that they're upon goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily those are who disbelieved in the verses of their Lord, those who want to reject the Quran and otherwise, and meeting Him, and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. So all their actions went in vain. Now this is the evidence, فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. On the Day of Judgment, they will be of no weight. On the Day of Judgment, they will have no weight, no significance, no importance. No matter how humongous you are in size, even if you're the boxing man, or a karate man, some of the brothers might, I'm not, even if you have all kinds of skills where you can break 10 bricks at the same time, if you don't have any iman, on the Day of Judgment, you'll be just like the wing of a mosquito. Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyways, the Shaykh mentioned these and others about what we are supposed to do. And he mentioned that nowadays, where are the Muslim men? We are over 100, how many? We're a trillion? 1,000 million? 1,000 million men. And excuse me, Muslims are getting slapped around like an old lady. And all over the world. And we are not, our size in number, we are humongous. And we have certain things where it will really allow us to be one. But because, where are the men? Where are the real men? Wallahi, the Shaykh said, if out of each 1,000 male, there was one man, we would be able to make a lot of difference. We would be able to make a lot of difference in the Muslim Ummah. So we're not looking for quantity, we're looking for quality. So each one of us, don't just be a regular male Muslim. Be a man. And by being a man is one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you fear Allah and you're obedient to Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more you are a man. The more you want to turn away from that and do otherwise, the more you lack manhood. No matter how much you pretend. Because it is according to Allah the manhood, not according to human beings. So anyways, the Shaykh also mentioned from the satellite and all these the ways, that these new means were to protect your children from being gay, but yet from being feminine. And Umar radiallahu anhu says, "Khshawshinu, learn how to be rough, because an-ni'am la tadum, because the bounties don't last forever. Maybe you live in lavish one day, maybe one day you're living on the street. If you're used to a silk blanket and a fancy toothbrush and everything is just a certain way, and then one day your life becomes rough, you might not be able to adapt. So get used to a little roughness. Doesn't mean that you give up what Allah gave you, but be familiar with roughness because it is necessary. And so likewise the children are to be rough. So he said, don't have him imitate the haircut of these certain haircuts that indicate lack of manhood. And you can tell usually what haircuts resemble a man and what haircuts where a brother's hair is down to his behind. Walking around with curly jerry curls and gel and all kinds of stuff. Yani, this is the appearance of a female or a male with problems. A real male has a certain appearance. And this is what the Shaykh was warning us, to make sure that our children fall under this category. Please, so they could be real men.
Please repeat, what's the word?
From the word khushun. Yani, being rough and stern. So anyways, this is what it is, as usual. And so,
did he say about walking?
Well, I don't remember him saying that.
What was the point? Health.
Health, that's the part of sports. I don't remember him saying walking. Maybe the Shaykh said to walk. Probably if you go to the masjid, you wind up walking a lot. So, brothers, the idea is we want to be, and look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran to the Muslims that if you don't do your job, Allah will get some other people and replace you. You are probably the replacement. Tayyib, I'm giving you a hard fact. You are probably the replacement of the Muslims who are supposed to be carrying this deen on their shoulders but have fell short. So as Allah promised in the Quran, He will replace him with other people who will love Allah and Allah will love them. And they will be the one who carry this deen. This might be you and your children. Because you were non-Muslims, most of you were non-Muslims, and you have become Muslims. And it is a sign for Allah's promise in the Quran. Because there are Muslims who have been Muslims all their life, who have not said a word of da'wah in their life. Who have not been concerned about this deen for nothing. They're just living like a regular lifestyle, like nothing is important in our deen. So Allah will replace them with other people, which inshallah I hope to be you. So we need to be a special example. And you need to be special examples for the Muslims by showing them how a new Muslim is able to adapt, learn and exceed. And be a real man like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants men to be. So on the Day of Judgment you'll have a lot of hur al-ayn. In Jannah inshaAllah. Allah ta'ala a'lam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Nabiya Muhammad wa ala alihi sahbihi ajma'in.